Welcome, everyone, to Sista Brunch, the podcast where our sistas talk about work in the industry.
I'm so excited to have our guest today, Radelia Shaw. She is a producer and educator, and she leads the media production program at Santa Monica College, right where we are right now in this beautiful studio. She's also one of the producers behind Race Relay. It's a theatrical production using drama, music, and video to explore the state of race relations in America today. Are there race problems? Is there a problem?
Maybe just a few.
Okay.
But it's almost all taken care of,
right? Yeah, right. It's post-racial since Obama.
Yes.
The other thing that's great about Radelia is she co-produced the documentary Cocaine Prison. It made its debut at TIFF, right? In 2017?
Yes.
We should say Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes.
That's what TIFF is.
International Film Festival, yes. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Amazing experience.
Awesome. It's so interesting because... our friend here is this amazing educator, but I met her when she was a trainee. We were both DGA trainees,
Love
Directors
it.
Guild of America. So she's worked on a ton of different sets, like Queen Sugar and The Office
like
and House
sister
of Lies.
Shows. She's worked
Scandal.
On sister shows like
yes.
Scandal and Queen Sugar.
Killed
I'm like,
it.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And she also holds a position at the DGA as one of the members of the DGA African American Steering Committee. And also was a part of the Western ADUPM Council Education Committee.
Yes.
Nice. And so. She went to Clark Atlanta and Georgia State. And I love GSU. I've been there a couple times.
Oh.
And yeah, it's such a beautiful school, great campus. And I think lots of good people coming out of there. And excitingly, so many things happening in Atlanta now.
It's the number one place for production.
Wow.
I just want to say... After this podcast, guys, you're going to feel really guilty that you're sitting around doing nothing because Radelia is on two committees. She's a teacher. She's a producer. She's a creator. And then you're grading papers and you have friends. How do you do it all? You're
I don't
incredible.
Know. I'm crazy.
Yeah. How do you do it?
The main thing is just knowing that I have this vision that I want out there in the world. Mm. And I want to be a part of projects that... really support our community specifically and mm-hmm. women. And that is really what keeps me going every day. It's like, I feel like, how dare I get tired? When I think about just us being in this room, the fact mm-hmm. that we are even here,
yes.
I think about how some people, somebody in our line made an active decision to live. Mm. Not like happenstance, not like I'm just going to get through today, but like an active decision to stay alive because they were thinking about the future and they were thinking about a legacy and they were thinking about us before we were even here. Yes. And also my grandmother, my mom's mother, she died when I was 3 months old, unfortunately. And my mom would always tell the story of every morning my grandmother would get her knees would hit the floor at 5:30 in the morning. Mm. And she would pray for her kids and their kids and their kids. And my mom said the whole house would shake with her praying for us. Her name is Willie Mae Powell. Mm. And she built a church across the street from her house with her own hands.
Wow.
And it's still standing to this day. Mm. And it's just so amazing to be a part of that history and that legacy. And she had to drop out of school when she was 8 years old in the third grade. So that was all the learning, book learning she had. Mm. And so the fact that I am able to go to CAU and to go to Georgia State.
Yes.
Now I'm an educator. I'm pursuing a PhD at some point.
Yes.
It's like, how dare I not do that?
Absolutely.
When 150 years ago, it was illegal to teach us how to read.
Mm-hmm. At what point did you know that storytelling was what you wanted to do, directing was what you wanted to do, producing was what... When did that spark happen?
Ooh, so that's kind of... that's very interesting. Because I think about that often, like, when did I decide I want to do this? In the fourth grade, we had to do a project on Black History Month. And the only people I knew with books was our next door neighbor, Betty Wilder. And her husband, Harrison, they moved to Florida from New York. Mm. And Harrison had these books in the closet. They didn't have
wow.
a bookshelf up either.
Oh, wow.
Right? And they was like, oh, just go into the closet and get a book out because they had all these black books.
Yes. Oh, wow.
One of the books was a lynching book.
What?
And I don't think they had looked at the box in years.
Right.
But I will never forget my 9-year-old mind looking at these images. Mm-hmm. And the famous one, I forget the brother's name, but it's where they burn him so bad and it looks like he's on a railroad track and there's smoke coming off of him. And I was transfixed.
Jeez. As a 9-year-old.
Right? I mean, there was a lot of books in the box.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But of course, this was like a coffee table book.
Right.
And
the images must have been.
And the images have stayed with me to this day.
Sure.
And I remember feeling like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What? Like, just shock.
Mm.
And as I got older, it had this reinforcement in me to understand more about Black people and Black history.
Mm-hmm.
So starting there, I loved writing. That was like my favorite thing. And I wanted to go to an HBCU.
Mm.
So I'm at Clark. I fall in love with Black history, Black culture. Everything is taught from a Black perspective. And I am assistant editor of the yearbook my sophomore year. I'm helping out my friend who's the editor of the newspaper. Literally, we would be spending the night there getting the newspaper to bed or working on the yearbook, like just really devoted. And unfortunately, and not just there, I think probably all institutions, there's a lack of people helping out with student media, which I think is like one of the best places for you to get some experience in writing, leadership, management, knowing how to get things in on deadline.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of soft skills that you learn in a very safe environment because it doesn't have to be perfect,
right?
This is where you get your professional polish. And
yes.
So while I was doing that, we came up with this idea to do this TV show called Perspectives.
Nice.
Because we had a TV studio at Clark.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. We had so much drama with some of the faculty that didn't get behind us. But there was one, Charles Easley. I love him to this day.
Name dropping Charles.
He is
alone.
Amazing.
Okay. Hey, Charles.
I'm hoping he's going to listen to this podcast.
Because
I am blowing you up, brother. You were so phenomenal in helping us and be supportive of what it is that we were doing.
Yes.
And because of him, I'm the kind of faculty advisor that I am today.
Yes.
Because I know that you need people that can open doors, that can make things easier for you to get things done.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to grow and learn. I mean, we weren't perfect, but we knew enough to go buy food for our crew and our guests and have a green room.
Such an important
We built a set. Like I went to visit, I think last year, and Brian Jenkins, who's now over the TV station at Clark, he said, yeah, we still have the brick wall from your set.
Oh, wow.
From 1993.
Yeah. This is Sister Brunch with Fanch and Cox and Anya Adams. We're going to take a quick musical break. We'll be back in a moment.
It's Sister Brunch with Anya Adams and Fanch and Cox. Now back to our interview. One of the things we really want to make sure we talk about is like, how do you survive in this industry when you come in and you don't have resources and you don't know people, and you're really speaking to how early on you started to plant those seeds for yourself. Once you got to college, even if you didn't know what you were doing in the beginning, you were like, I'm going to go for it. And you created this amazing show, clearly.
Right,
and you had those mentors, but still, most importantly, you were just going for it.
Right.
So by the time you get out of college, it's like you have this experience and you know more than a lot of people that you're going to be encountering here in Hollywood.
Right.
You've actually had the hands-on.
Yeah.
Man, when I tell you, like I apply for scholarships all the time, and I had gotten an internship to the Philadelphia Daily News for a summer, a paid internship.
Wow.
I was making like really good money every week.
Yes.
And it was interesting. Because it was 6 weeks in news on the copy desk as a copy editor and 6 weeks in sports.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yes.
And on the news desk, I was one of two women.
Wow.
And one of two black people. We were the two black people on the news desk. And there were no other people of color. They were all white men. I think it was eight of us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then on the sports desk, again, I was one of two women.
Mm-hmm.
And she was white and in the LGBTQ community, right?
Uh-huh.
It was such an amazing summer to be a part of that. But I knew I didn't want to do news.
Okay.
I wanted to do something more creative. And while I was on the news desk, Rosemary, the other African-American woman, said, well, there's a production company across the street. You should check them out. And so one day I went over there, and it just so happened to be the day they were interviewing George Frazier, the boxer.
Oh, wow.
Thriller Manila.
Okay, yes.
The brother that was in there doing stuff was like, yeah, I'm also shooting music videos on the weekend. Come on, you know, this weekend and help out. So I'm copy editor by day, and then on the weekends I'm helping out with these music videos all over Philly, and we're piling into a cargo van, and then we'll say, oh, stop, and then we get out the truck and we set up dolly track and we shoot, right? Of course, I don't know we're stealing locations all over Philadelphia,
because
all the equipment and crafty and props and everything is
in that cargo van.
And I'm just riding along for like the ride of it. It was like so thrilling. Like I'm like 19 and it's like, this is what
life.
I want to do.
Yes.
So I get back to Atlanta. I get an internship on Drop Squad. It was a 40 Acre Mule production. Butch Robinson, I think, was the producer of that. I just didn't get in the right department to like really get my full on film.
Oh,
yeah, I was in that. Yeah,
Vonnie Curtis Hall.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
And I didn't get into it as much as I should have because I had such a hands on experience in Philly.
No, I'm laughing because IMDb review. Worst movie ever, 1 out of 10.
Oh,
that's
no.
terrible. But no, you had some people in there.
Yeah,
Casey Lemons.
Yeah, it was some good
Ving
folks
Rhames.
In that film.
Wait, Casey Lemons was in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize she was an actor.
But then there was a host.
That pattern keeps coming back for you, right?
Is
like this, what are those connections between history and who we are now, right?
And that's the kind of work I want to do.
I love it. And also another pattern that I'm noticing, especially now that Anya read that review, is that it's good and okay to learn on kind of low risk projects, right? Like you were doing at school, then doing
music
this
video.
First movie and the music videos. That's how you cut your teeth, right? Is like it's not gonna ruin your career, you know.
No.
It's just
everybody
getting that experience.
Everybody does it,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, the more you play, the better you get.
Yeah.
And then
we
have this thing called host broadcast training program.
Okay.
With the 96 Olympics. I'm dating myself so you can see how old
That's
I am.
That's all good.
So I was training to be a tape operator. They were training all of us at various colleges so that we could be interns when the Olympics came to Atlanta.
Okay.
And I got so blessed. I was in the Olympic Stadium. So for opening and closing ceremonies, I was a camera assistant.
Ooh, wow.
And I was on the 50-yard line. It was like amazing. And I was supposed to be the RF signal receiver for the cameras during track and field.
Okay.
Which
you want to really quickly just say RF?
Yeah. So at the time, you know, the cameras, they would send a signal back to the control room from what they were recording. And I was supposed to have the thing on my back and kind of be camera assistant to the camera operators during track and field. But the guy that I was assigned to was like, well, he had some other person that he wanted. And I was relegated to control room I, which was fine by me because I was an AC for track and field.
Yes.
And that was amazing. I was in the control room I, which was the international feed, which was everyone in the control room was from Finland. It was a Finnish team.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, like, I was assigned to a tape operator. I just needed to know the flags and the time code number that I was writing down for him to, you know, feed that to the system. Then in Atlanta, I went on to graduate school.
Yes.
At Georgia State University. And
in what field?
Communication.
Uh-huh.
It's a master's degree of communication. And I learned a little 3D, a little visual effects.
Okay.
I was doing compositing. I also shot a small short film while I was there.
Nice.
I wrote a feature-length screenplay, and I did a master's thesis. Because the program,
like,
there was a lot of requirements for me to get out of there.
I told you. y'all, okay. You're going to feel real lazy.
Yeah, I know. I'm
real
sitting
lazy
here
after
like,
this.
What?
Just FYI.
What am I doing with my life?
So okay. I was like, I had to do all this stuff to get out of there, right?
Yes.
But while I was there, I was working on Laugh-A-Palooza, which was is a comedy festival.
Of course you were. Yes.
Jamie Foxx was the headliner.
Okay.
And
wow.
That's where I met Jamie Foxx, Marcus King,
yes,
all these people. So we'd have all these comedians come down and, you know, perform. And it was a festival. It was really a brilliant idea. I wish they would have kept that up. Mm. And then from there, I got a job at a production company. And but while I was in graduate school. So I was doing all this while I was in graduate school.
This is Sister Brunch with Fanchon Cox and Anya Adams. Join our community. We're on Twitter at Sister Brunch and Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast.
Did you know what this is? Were you asking? Were you in your head like, what is this? I'm going to tell you. It's Sister Brunch. Now back to our interview.
I think there are like three things to being in production and being successful. One, you have to have the smarts. Two, you have to have the drive. And three, there's a little bit of sprinkling of like luck, like where have mm-hmm. I placed myself? Mm-hmm. And I really like, based on your life story that you've just told us, you really see that. Like yep. You've placed yourself in places where you've been lucky to ascend into these places. And then you're smart enough to hold on to it and be able to build on it. And I think that's really important for people listening to us about, you know, this whole production world, is that you have to have those kind of three prongs to move along.
And also the diversifying the knowledge. Like you,
yes,
I feel like I'd actually be afraid to work with you because you know everybody's job.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, you're not doing that correctly.
Right.
You could step, given all the things that you've done, you could step in on anything and be like, let me just take this over in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's amazing.
At the same time, though, I feel like I'm not like an expert.
Which is what a producer is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can continually grow mm-hmm. your skills, but knowing enough to have a dialogue with the experts that are working for you mm-hmm. is, I think, the biggest kind of responsibility of a producer.
Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
It's your job to continue to learn, but you don't have to learn everything. You just need to be able to have the dialogue.
Yeah. Right.
You
right.
know?
Well, that's definitely true.
And you, I know you're good at that. Because I know you are.
Well, and you teach it. So you've got to be good at it.
Yeah. With that company, we had three shows on three different networks.
Wow.
And yes. I think the greatest lesson out of that experience was I thought that I had arrived. Like, I went to a P. Diddy party. Like,
you were like, yes,
I'm
like,
here. Man, I'm like, I'm
she
doing
said, I went
it.
To, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm doing it. But what I didn't understand was I was in Atlanta, not in Hollywood, didn't know really the deal.
Okay.
And after those shows were aired and we were done, we had like this time period of like nothing. And I hadn't written my thesis yet.
Okay.
And so I asked for like some time off so that I could do that, and I was told, oh, you need to resign. So I did. And that was the scariest moment for me, because I thought that I was at a production company that I was going to be at the rest of my life.
Like,
you know how you're thinking and you're young and you're
like,
just starting out.
Yes.
And I was young. I was really, really young. But I also knew that I wanted that degree, going back to my grandma, right? Going back to the slaves in the field, right? How dare I not? Mm. And so I called the bluff and I was like, okay, this is my resignation. Because that was so important, because I had already invested so much time into it.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is all I have to do is write a paper, although it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But then I need to go ahead and do that, because I'm the type of person, I have to finish where I start.
Yes, which they should really appreciate about
kidding.
You.
No matter how long it takes, I'm going to finish what I start.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, and that turned out to be, I think, the best decision ever in my life. So then I finished my thesis. In the meantime, I got these jobs with these low-budget cable channels.
Can I just say one thing? I'm just thinking about it. But you made this choice to leave your job to finish your thesis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing for other people to think about as well, is that in this industry, people will suck you dry of your talent until you are a husk. It's not about you. It's about the project and the company and the whatever. So it's very important to not get colored by all of that stuff and to make choices for yourself. And you may take a step back in doing so, but you'll always move forward again. I truly believe that. Like that's a you that's exemplify that as well. But like that's something for people to remember when they step into this, because it can be so alluring and seductive and easy to stay in
and
a place that's taking
leave.
You to pity parties.
And you think you'll never work again.
And think you'll never work again.
And it's like, this too shall pass.
And the world is wide, right? So there's so
especially now
with all the content and so many platforms. It's the world is wide, and so no matter what happens in one place, it does not mean your career is
over. Exactly.
It's just the beginning. You just move on.
And it was that was good because I was humbled. I did multi-camera directing. Not big. We were like little jewelry on a table.
But
we had to direct talent a little
Chiron,
I learned how to do graphics and camera, like all that kind of stuff, because we had this little thing that we did every day. It was a daily show. And that was really good experience. So I did that a number of years. And my friend here in LA was like, you've got to move here. You got to move to LA. And I didn't want to. I was going to be fine just working at the little shopping channel the rest of my life, I think. I had some ideas that I wanted to do, but I wasn't.
But like Atlanta hadn't had its boom
yet. Tyler Perry had not woken up Atlanta yet.
Okay.
He was doing plays.
That's what I'm curious. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't. He hadn't done.
You were going to, because now a person might not say you need to go to Hollywood if
you're
in Atlanta. But of course, at that time, it was everybody was like, you have to spend time in Hollywood.
And at the time, too, like I would get on as a PA every now and then, rarely on a commercial project in Atlanta. But I'll be honest, like being a black person, a big black girl in Atlanta, like, no, you weren't like coming for me. Like, oh, yes, come in and be on our show. Or I remember one time I was a PA for a commercial, and it was fun, and the production coordinator was like, you're just so enthusiastic, like basically that I was just so, like, you know, and I probably was like really excited to be on set, be on these trucks, and you know, I've been working up until this time, like,
you know what you're doing
stuff,
right?
But I think it just kind of made her feel a little, I don't know,
intimidated.
That would be the word for it. Hey, you are listening to Sister Brunch with Anya Adams and me, Fanchon Cox. We will be right back.
Now back to our interview.
I did that, and then my friend who lived here, she was like, you got to come to LA and we can just take LA by storm, right? Because we can be like with Brian Fraser and Ron Howard, right? That was the idea. And then I come to LA and it doesn't quite work out that way. But the thing about it is that I still thought I wanted to do film. As opposed to, like, I didn't take television seriously. So I moved here 2005. I work a little bit at multi-cam shows. I was a talent coordinator. Where I met another lifelong friend. Her name is Michelle Letarte. She's an executive in charge of production. That's freaking amazing. Badass producer. Michelle Letarte. She's a freelance producer. She's an executive in charge of production. And besides the Olympics, the other amazing project I worked on that will always be in my memory is I worked on 2009 inauguration.
Oh, cool.
Wow. She was the producer for the balls, then all of the things that they did for Cherry Hill Productions.
That's amazing.
And she's like, you know, come to D.C. and be a production coordinator on this. And I was like, thank you, Michelle.
That speaks to two things that I think are so important. One is that you were coming in already with all that experience and being a hard worker, like all the things that somebody looks for to know that you could handle a job like that. And two, for her to understand that it really just takes saying, you're coming with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to make that decision for other Black women and mm-hmm. say, like, this is what's going to happen. You're going to come and do this is everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Well, Michelle isn't Black.
No, yeah, but that's definitely. What I'm saying, because yeah. the fact that she did that with you, I think, is lacking often.
Yeah.
I had worked with her on The Gospel of Music, which was a TV One show.
Okay.
She was the EIC on that. Okay. And she I did like three or four seasons. And so she got to see my work ethic yeah, and
exactly.
how I, you know, handled myself.
Right.
And so she felt comfortable, like, you know,
bringing
me with, yeah. with her. Mm. So, honestly, when I think of all the stuff that I've worked on, the Olympics and inauguration are two, like,
yes.
those are the things
insane.
That I
yes.
are, like, amazing
yes.
projects.
Yes.
And they're broadcasting projects, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so then I get to the DGA, the training program, which I got through that
which,
experience.
Let me just say something. All of your experience up until this point, you chose to go to a trainee program.
Good point.
It takes a certain personality and a dedication to your process and what you want to
yes.
do to
yep.
do that.
Yep.
Well, even though I had a lot of experience when I got into the training program, the first show I went on, they were like, they
what
were,
show?
I'm not going to say.
Right. But they,
we'll
they,
find out
they completely dismissed
they,
any of your previous
right,
experience.
And, you know, I didn't know how Hollywood did things. Like, I had a lot of experiences in Atlanta,
right.
but there
was
all,
like,
new. Figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I want to definitely say about us in the community,
mm.
like, we have this huge thing right now about diversity
mm-hmm.
and people of color working behind the camera,
yes.
especially
yes.
being producers and making decisions and all of that good stuff. The reason why... me and my friend did not succeed when I first moved here in 2005 was because I did not feel secure that I would be able to book, you know, 8 5-tons for a show and understand why we have like 8 grips and 8 set lighting technicians and
okay.
all, base camp and all of that. Like,
right.
you know, we were making our stuff by hook or crook. I'm
yes.
driving around in a cargo van in Philadelphia
yes.
making stuff happen. Now you're talking about getting permits. You're talking about doing contracts,
right.
making sure people are paid correctly, having an accounting department.
Yes.
And I did not know that stuff. Right.
Right.
So the training program helped me see what I wanted to know was like when you put a call sheet together, all those names on a call sheet and what that means.
Well, okay. help you understand the network process.
Yes.
Because you'd really been doing kind of an independent process.
Correct.
So there's two different processes.
Yep.
Right. And,
yes.
and the network is a whole different culture.
Right.
Yes.
And
right.
If you don't know it, it can be extremely overwhelming.
Yeah. Right. And we yeah. have to know that stuff.
Okay.
But we usually aren't in places to get the
exactly.
training to learn that stuff because there's only one DJ training program. Right.
right?
Yep.
And there's only a... And then I would look at the Black folk that would come out on these sets of these network shows, and half the time, they would not even say 2 words to me.
Mm-hmm.
Only one. Corrine Huggins, I think that's her name.
Oh, yeah.
Calling people out. Hey, Corrine.
Okay. When I tell you, this sister would sit down and have lunch with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what that meant to
yes.
me as a trainee
that's what I'm
on
saying.
That set.
Like, this is what we have to do that and be that for one another. This has been amazing and inspiring and is so wonderful. And you've said so much of this already during the interview, but if
yeah.
you could leave, if you could just have one
drop of wisdom.
Yes.
Always be humble and open to learn because we are always learning and you are never too big to learn something new.
Yeah.
And definitely that's like, I'm a lifelong learner and be that.
Yes.
Be kind because you never know who you're talking to and
yes.
where they're going in their lives. And always, always, always be of service.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we're here. We're here to serve. And so I know that was like multiple things.
We'll take
but,
it. We will take it.
You know,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Sister Brunch with Anya Adams and me, Fanshan Cox. That was our conversation with Radelia Shaw, who leads media production at Santa Monica College, where we recorded a lot of our shows for season one. We're so grateful to you, Radelia, and to Santa Monica College. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. That was the final show of our first season, but we will be back later in the year with more shows with some amazing sisters in Hollywood and the media industry at large. Our executive producer is Christabel Nciabwadi, and our show producer is Brittany Turner. All right, so while we're making new shows, please visit our website, sisterbrunch.com. Listen to all of our past amazing guests. Listen to them a second and third and fourth time. And also please share if you love what you're hearing. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at sisterbrunch. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at sisterbrunchpodcast. Talk to you soon.